Well, there you go. And we are live. Welcome one and all to another edition of Next.io Weekly News with me, Connor Mulhare, and the one and only, my partner in crime, Mr. Nico Jansen, who joins us live and direct today from the Next.io HQ in Sliema. How are you, Nico?
I'm perfectly fine, and shout out once again to Nico, the real deal Nico, and to Lorena for welcoming me in the kingdom of Next.io, the just rebranded and well-known brand in the iGaming industry, doing all kinds of great things, and I'm just happy being able to take a seat at this table.
Good. Yes, I'm sure you're very welcome in the office anytime. And I wish I was there with you, but unfortunately, you may be able to hear it in my voice. I'm suffering from a lingering case of the ice flu, the XL cold, the forbidden London virus that everybody gets exposed to every year in February because we meet up here in London. And not everybody is able to keep it healthy and keep it 100. So unfortunately, I've been struck down with the ice flu, but I'm not letting it get me down. I still had a very good, very productive time last week, but I had to cut my ice experience short. But Nico, you were here with us in London. What did you make of the show? How was it for you?
Intense. Show was intense. First of all, getting there, coming back with Elizabeth Line. Works like a charm. Awesome. Shout out to Elizabeth Line. Yeah, it took me around 35 minutes from Hyde Park. Actually, that's where my hotel was, to ICE. And yeah, there was a nice vibe during the conference. And fun fact, I invited a friend of mine and I just walked him through the halls of ICE, introduced him a little bit into our overall industry. And there his eyes literally stood out because he had no clue how the overall value chain actually looks like and what it takes to actually run the operations. We as the operators, actually need to fulfill to, first of all, be in line with all the regulator and compliance requirements, then just delivering the best product the customer actually looks for. Yeah, and that was just fun. It was an eye-opener also for me once again.
Yeah, it's one of the places where you can most kind of visualize the scale of this industry, I guess. It's such a huge exhibition, so much going on there. But I had a great week of it anyway, a great 2 days. By Thursday, I was staying at home because I was unwell. Let's say hello to iGaming Alliance and Katie and Elizabeth in the comments. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us. Now, I'm going to, I think, rest my voice for a few minutes because we have the return of the ever-popular feature, the people's favorite. It is Nico's, of course, 10 in 5. And Nico, nobody does it quite like you. So with the biggest headlines of this week, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, so let me take you away. So BetMGM signs an exclusive sports betting partnership with X. The casino and sports betting operator BetMGM has secured a strategic partnership with X to become the platform's exclusive live odds sports betting partner. The deal, the first of its kind between a sportsbook and a social media brand, will see BetMGM odds and branding integrated into X and also game links that take you to BetMGM's app and website. So, welcome to the affiliate world and shout out to X. Welcome to our glorious industry. Then heading over to the owning company, MGM Resorts enjoys a record-setting 2023 as the full year provides a boost. Publishing its financial results, MGM Resorts declared consolidated net revenue for Q4 of $4.4 billion, which is 22% year-on-year increase. And for the full year, MGM reported a revenue of $16.2 billion, which is represents also a year-on-year increase of 23%. And if we just split it a little bit to give you a feeling, with casino revenue coming in at 8.1 billion and rooms 3.5. So stay over within your room, but please spend your money in our awesome casino. Shout out to MGM. So Betsson rewards its investor with nearly 90 million euros in dividends to celebrate their 2023 results. Publishing its full year 2023 results this morning, which had been yesterday, the Stockholm listed gambling group's corporate revenues stood at 948 million euros, which also represents an up of 22% on the results of 2022. The year trading saw the firm register a 60% increase in EBITDA, which comes out with 262 million. As Betsson's net income profits increased to 173 million, which also represents an increase of 44 million. And the board of Betsson has proposed that 88.5 million euros will be rewarded to shareholders at the firm's annual general meeting. So shout out to whoever has invested into Betsson as well. And once again, shout out to Pierre Lind. I am sitting in his office because he came up with the Twitter handle, Bring Pontus Back. And this is for sure the underlying reason why Betsson is doing so great. Then FDJ, which is La Francoise de Jeu, FDJ, and the new owner of Kindred Group, they have released their revenue report for 2023 as well, with the operator making 2.6 billion in revenues. This reflects a growth of 6.5% from the reported 2.5 billion of last year. And the recurring EBITDA was 657 million, which also represents 11.3% as well. So I'm pretty sure FDJ will be able to pay their 2.6 billion price for the Kindred Group just out of their pockets. ESPN bet to launch in New York as Penn strikes a 25 million deal with Wynn. Penn said the agreement, pending regulatory approvals, will allow its ESPN bet brand to launch in the Empire State in 2024. Under the terms, Penn will acquire Wynn's WSI US LLC subsidiary for 25 million, and the entity which holds WynnBET licenses as issued by the New York State Gaming Commission. And these licenses will provide Penn with mobile sports betting market access for the state of New York. This would see ESPN Bet become one of New York's 9 available online sports betting brands. Keep the number of 9 online sports betting brands in your head, as a study finds New York generates over 37% of all U.S. sports betting tax. So these 9 online sports betting brands are responsible for 37% of the overall tax income, sports betting tax income of the U.S. So the quarterly survey of state and local tax revenue, short QTAX, for Q3 of 23 found that sports betting accumulated national tax and gross receipts of $506 million. New York dominated the tax generated via sports betting in the third quarter of 2023 with its $188.5 million, which is nearly 5 times higher than Indiana's roughly $40 million. So no state has a higher tax on gross gambling revenues than New York's 51%, and these represent an overall of 37%. And then, more than getting you some numbers to the Super Bowl, more than 14,750 bets per second have been recorded just ahead of the Super Bowl. Once again, shout out to GeoComply, who just provide us with these numbers, has reported a 23.3 year-on-year increase in geolocation checks during Super Bowl 58 weekend. Checks took place in the U.S. states where sports betting is legal, as well as the unincorporated territory of Puerto Rico. This does not include Florida. Remember, the Seminole state, which is operating the Hard Rock sports bet in Florida, is not included. Key data from GeoComply include pre-game activity, and in the minutes just before kickoff, 14,750 transactions per second were reported. So we just get a feeling for why Super Bowl is one of the biggest events also for sports betting. Then two quite interesting numbers, as Catena Media and Better Collective reported their numbers. And for Q4 2023, Catena Media reports a 41% revenue drop. Catena Media self-described weak Q4 2023 report revealed a 41% year-on-year revenue drop, but their CEO Michael Daly believes the business is turning a corner. So in Q4 2023, Catena Media reported a 41% year-on-year revenue decrease to 40.5 million, and the adjusted EBITDA from continuing operations decreased by 88% to 1.5 million. So on the other end, we're seeing Better Collective, as they reported revenue growth. They report revenue growth and exceeding their 2023 targets. The company announced a total revenue of 327 million euros for the full year, surpassing its anticipated range of 315 to 325 million. Additionally, Better Collective achieved an EBITDA of 111 million, positioning itself at the upper end of the forecasted range of 105 and 150 million. This outcome signifies a growth of 21% in revenue and a notable 31% on EBITDA. So while Catena Media is on the downside, Better Collective is on the rising side. And last but not least, and my heart is German, the Germany's Oasis self-exclusion platform was down. So the Germany self-exclusion system Oasis went down for approximately 24 hours this week, as confirmed by a government spokesperson. The issue is said to have started at 9 o'clock CET on February 12th, but had been resolved as of yesterday morning, which was the 13th of February. The outage is thought to have caused a number of customer complaints throughout Germany. Quite interesting, and never forget that as soon as you are signing or logging into your German account, out of a sudden, the all regulated or license issues need to check your name against the Oasis system. So if Oasis is not reachable, you can't log in into your account. So for 24 hours, all licensed entities in Germany had not been able to cater you as a sports betting customer. Guess what? You're not facing these issues if you're using your non-licensed operations. And I'm pretty sure, and once again, shout out to the GGL, you are running the biggest campaign for all the black market operations. And once again, shout out to you.
Well, there you have it. Nico Jansen, the one and only with his 5 and 10, and a little bit of industry lobbying at the end there, throwing some shade at the German regulator. Wow, lots going on, Nico. It's been a busy week already. We're well into results season again, so we're looking at people's full year results from 2023. like you say, we've got Betson, Better Collective, Katina, lots and lots going on. You also mentioned New York a few times, and we're going to come back to New York in just a few minutes and look at the latest development from that market. But first, we have a story from Sweden, and one which has definitely captured the imagination of lots of people in the industry, and it's something that people have been keeping a close eye on, and it is the lawsuit between Per Holknekt and Kindred Group. And this has been a story that people are watching very, very closely, because we are kind of waiting as an industry for some kind of consensus or precedent to emerge around the question of whether online gambling operators can be held liable for the losses of any customers who are suffering from problem gambling or gambling addiction. So if you recall, Nico, in July 2022, Per Holknekt, who's a Swedish fashion designer and entrepreneur, he's the founder of a fashion brand called Odd Molly. He sued Kindred, claiming that Unibet basically targeted him with aggressive marketing in spite of the fact that he was a diagnosed gambling addict. So he said that over a 15-year period, he spent something like 26 million Swedish krona with the operator because of his addiction. And therefore, he was seeking damages of 10 million krona through this lawsuit. Now, that went to the Stockholm District Court. I think that was last month. It went to the district court, which has now ruled in favor of Kindred and said that Kindred is not liable for Holknekt's losses, and in fact that Per Holknekt will have to pay 2 million krona towards Kindred's legal fees, because that's the danger, I guess, when it comes to trying to sue a company like this. There's always the danger that it will get thrown back in your face. So just to give you a bit more information on why the court made that judgment. So first of all, the court said that Holknekt was not actually playing with a brand owned by Kindred Group itself, but it's owned by Kindred subsidiary Tranel. So that kind of complicated things a little bit, but it meant that even if the contract that he held with Tranel as one of its customers was unjust or unfair or invalid, they couldn't make Kindred Group as a separate entity pay out, you know, any fees related to that. So that was part of it. And it also, the court also said it was unclear whether Kindred as a parent company was covered under Swedish business law, as it is a Malta registered company. So there was a bit of confusion there over the international borders and where, you know, where this case could actually go to trial. I think it's been made pretty clear already in the past that in Malta, this kind of case is not going to wash. This is not going to, you know, turn on operators to make them liable for player losses. And I suspect that many people in the industry will have breathed a sigh of relief in response to this story today, Nico. I think there's a contrast here with what happened to Betsson Group not long ago. So in December, Betsson Group was fighting a similar case in the Swedish Patent and Market Court of Appeal, where that court ruled that Betsson must pay back nearly 6 million krona in losses to an unnamed online casino customer who was also diagnosed with gambling addiction. So There's a contrast here in the two cases. It's not exactly clear now whether there is a precedent. I believe there are possibly hundreds of millions of kroner worth of cases currently being processed along similar lines. And I think if the Swedish case had gone the way of Per Holknekt today, instead of going to Kindred, I think there'd be a huge amount of worry and concern among operators. But as it stands, one case has gone one way, today's case went the other. And so it's not a very clear precedent that's been set just yet. So I think still a bit of uncertainty about which way these cases will go and where the operator's liability actually begins and ends when it comes to customer losses. But Nico, what did you make of all this?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same story we are facing in Germany as well. You know, when all the Maltese operators are sued in courts of Germany, you know, players claiming their losses, usually, you know, in 75% of all the cases, the ruling is in favor of the players. In 25% of the cases, it's obviously in the ruling of the operators, and that's why the MGA or the Maltese government came up with Bill 55, which actually implies that, okay, although there's a ruling somewhere outside of Malta, but you are still a MGA licensed operators, we will not force you to actually pay these pay out these losses as well, in an easy description. So this is what's behind Bill 55. And as you already said, it's pretty much the same case with Betsson and obviously with Kindred. One has been decided in the favor of the operator and the other one has been decided in the face of the customer. So as of now, you don't know it. Because in the end, both of the operators have the same underlying licensing, so it's they are running their operations on the same rule set, but obviously it just depends on the judge. And there's one saying: on high sea and in court, you are in God's hand. And this is what actually is pretty much the same which we're seeing here as well.
There you go. That's a good phrase. I like it. We should point out quickly that actually the Betsson case, where it was ruled in favor of the customer, Betsson is appealing that, I believe, and that's going to go up to, I think, Sweden's Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, Betsson will be appealing that decision, so we'll see. Bogdan says, "Hi, folks. Anyone sick with a high fever, sore throat, and so on after ice?" Yes, Bogdan, I am. I can't really speak properly, and I'm sorry to hear that you and your team are suffering as well. Somebody said to me the other day, "I'm sure the XL becomes the world's largest Petri dish every year when ice takes place there." So, yes, I'm afraid so. I've had a nasty infection, and I'm sorry to hear that you and your team are suffering too. I hope you all feel better very soon. But thanks for joining us on the stream, as you do every week. It's good to have you with us. Now, Nico, we're going to move on to our final story of the week in just a couple of minutes, in just a couple of seconds, actually. But first, I think we have a quick commercial message to show to our audience. Lorena? There you have it, short and sweet, New York. And it's perfectly timed because our next story is from the state of New York. So, Nico, let me rest my voice again for a moment. Why don't you tell us what's
going on? Yeah, of course I will. Okay. So, once again, it's all about New York. As we've already heard, ESPN Bet will be starting in 2024 as they just bought the license from WynnBET. Then 37% of the overall tax revenue in betting is coming from New York as well. And as already anticipated by beginning of this year, when I was like, we will see big fines in the US being forced, we have the first big fine as Price Picks. a prominent daily fantasy sports operator, has agreed to cease It's for Money contest in New York and pay nearly $15.15 million to the state's gaming commission for operating without license. So the fantasy site was in violation of New York law for several years, obviously, as they did not hold a license. The amount of the settlement is based on the revenue Prize Picks generated through a purported interactive fantasy sports contest from New York contestants between 2019 and 2023. The amount of the settlement... Oh, no, this has already been mentioned. And a spokesperson for the Gaming Commission told ESPN that the settlement speaks for itself. So while DraftKings and the FanDuels, as soon as they could sign up for a license, actually went for the license, Prize Picks didn't go on the first mover or did not follow the first mover steps, and now they are bleeding a little bit of money. I'm pretty sure they can't complain, as they for sure did way more money than these 15 million. And don't forget, it's a time span of nearly 4.5 years. So I'm pretty sure they did a decent amount of even more money during that time. So as said, it's the first big fine we're seeing in the US, and I'm pretty sure there's more to come, more to follow.
Where do you think they're going to come from next, Nico? Do you think companies like Prize Picks, I think DFS sometimes is kind of a grey area, right? It's a little bit like, is this real money gambling or is it not really? Is it a skill game? You know, and obviously the New York State Gaming Commission has come out and said, no, it's not a grey area. It's black and white. You're offering gambling. Pay up. Do you think that's going to happen in other states? Do you think New York's going to go after more DFS operators? I mean,
DFS operators, but I'm pretty sure, as you know, the margins are getting tighter and tighter and tighter, especially in the US, the holy grail of the US. Just take a look at all the Super Bowl advertisements. Spend a $5 bet and get free or bonus bets worth $200. So it's 40 times what you actually deposited. And based on this one, even the big companies like the FanDuel and the DraftKings, ESPN Bet, and Fanatics are joining this elite as well. There will be fines given out by either, you know, the New York State Gambling Commission or anywhere else, probably in Toronto as well. So as soon as there big money is involved, I'm pretty sure we are seeing fines, as the market is so tight and each and every operator just wants to gain something. And sometimes they're just, you know, crossing a line and, you know, taking it a little bit too far.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's worth pointing out that it says I think the regulator said that Prize Picks is still eligible to apply for a license in New York in the future. So, you know, who knows, maybe now it's time, if it's a very lucrative market for Prize Picks, which I guess it is, maybe it's time now that they apply for the license and do this all in the right way. You know, and try and get that license so they can carry on operating there without the danger of this kind of thing happening again. But unless you have any other comments on this story, Nico, I think we will probably think about wrapping up for today, and I can go and have a honey and lemon and relax my throat a little bit. What do you think?
No, I'm good. I think we covered nearly each and everything. Yeah,
busy week and lots more to come next week. I think all that remains to be said is thank you to everybody in the audience for watching, of course, and thank you to Playson for sponsoring this episode and bringing us back here every week, week in and week out. It's always our pleasure to be supported and joined by Playson. Nico, I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip in Malta. Say hi to all the gang there for me on the ground, and hope you have a couple of chisks on me, and I hope to catch you soon.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
They ain't coming close to me. Flow is on atomic. I'm starting fires through poetry. The heart's out. Staying loyal, no falling out. And if you step into the court, be ready. We balling out. Yeah.